podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi everybody, this is the Cricket Badger podcast.
Each badger marks the track with its own scent.
His black legs are short but very powerful for digging. The name badger probably comes from the French word bêcher, meaning digger.
We spent weeks and months in India talking about the Indian Premier League, and now we're heading to Pakistan, to Karachi. I'm very pleased to welcome to the Cricket Badger podcast Azam Khan. Azam, how are you?
I'm good, James. All good. What about you? How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. And excited to speak to a young player. Always good to speak to young players about their hopes and dreams for the future. And I was looking at your record. I want to get to know you today, and this is the first time we've met on this podcast. But I want to get to know a little bit about what makes Azam Khan tick as we go through today's pod. But let's start with the cricket. And looking through your records, it seems that T20 has taken your focus in the early part of your career. I've watched a YouTube video of you smashing the ball 100 metres and some ridiculous shots that you can play. But just one first-class game so far, is that something that you want to play more of?
Yeah, definitely. Why not? Because I think red ball cricket teaches you a lot about the real game, right? So how can you draft your innings? How can you finish the games, right? So I think first-class is very important for me. So I'm heading tonight to Multan for some first-class games. So quite excited about it.
So you get the whites on and you get to play against the red ball then in Multan. Is that, I mean, is that something that you want to really try and tackle? You know, obviously you've played white ball cricket now for Pakistan. Is Test cricket a dream as well?
Yeah, definitely. Why not? Because, you know, if you're representing your country at the highest level and at the highest level of cricket, right? So I think it's the best feeling in the world. But right now, I think I have to work more hard and I have to get some runs in the first class circuit as well to get my name over there. So quite looking forward to it. And I just can't wait to go out there and play with the red ball as well.
That's basically it, isn't it? It's volume of runs that gets you selection and gets you international recognition, isn't it? So you got to go out there and churn out as many runs as you can.
Yeah, definitely. Why not? Because test cricket and the first class cricket is not only about like blocking the balls or leaving the balls, right? It's like cricket is all about scoring runs for the batsman. Even if you get, if you score like 200 or 170 ball, that's good for you. You score runs for your team, right? So in the end, the runs matter. If you see like David Warner, he has scored like the fastest century, like in the first session of the game, right? It's all about scoring runs. That's what I believe.
All about scoring runs. Absolutely. I mean, you played, looking through the teams you played for, T20, as I say, has been your main sort of focus so far in your career. But you've played for the Gold Gladiators. You've obviously played for the Quetta Gladiators as well. But Barbados Royals is one that interests me because the Caribbean Premier League is a league that I really like to watch. Yeah, a good place to play cricket as well. Lovely part of the world. How did you find your time with the Barbados Royals?
I think it was one of the best experiences of my life because I never went to the Caribbean before. So it was my first time. Plus, the island over there was quite beautiful. And the standard of cricket is actually very good. So it was quite exciting for me. And especially, like, all of them were in a bubble. So we used to interact with all the legends of the game, especially in T20 cricket, right? Pollard, Sammy, everyone. They're like two-time World Cup winner, right? So it was quite you know, fascinating to talk to them and getting to know about their games. What do they do in their daily life and daily routine? So it was quite fun and like it was one of the best experiences of my life.
That was going to be my follow-up question to ask you about. I mean, in your team, you had Jason Holdershire, I hope. You had quite a lot of big names in that side. How much, you've obviously answered this, how much chance did you have to actually sit down and talk to them? But what did you learn from those guys?
I think what I learned the most was that just enjoy your game, because if you won't enjoy the game that you love the most, so it won't pay you back. So that was the one thing that I learned from them. And they're like the nicest people I've ever met.
They are quite big names. Were there nerves when you went across to Barbados? Were you nervous about that opportunity, or did you just see it as something to really get hold of and enjoy?
To be honest, like Daniel Vittori, he was our coach. So I was interacting with him. So at first, I thought that I'm not going to get a chance in the CPL because I'm a newcomer. But when I got that chance, because I was like that, I don't want to miss this opportunity and I want to avail it, right? So I scored some runs in the first game. So they got to know that, yeah, this guy can do something, right? So then I played like the whole 8 games. Then I got called for the Pakistani team, so I had to leave the league. But it was a nice experience. Scored a couple of runs over there, smashed some bowlers out of the park. So it was nice. It was a nice experience.
My cricket career, Azam, is well below yours. Mine was just club cricket. And I hit only probably about 5 sixes in my entire life. But I can remember every single one of those. But it's a good feeling hitting a six, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's actually, it's quite fascinating. Like, you know, when you practice for something and it's if you're delivering it on the ground, so it's the best thing ever, right? Because, you know, you've worked enough hard to be out there and perform, right? And when you are performing, it means you're the best and you can do whatever you want if you have done the hard work. That's all.
All about preparation, isn't it? There's a little video I saw of you where somebody's put it to music and it's just basically bang, 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 sixes flying everywhere. It must be quite nice to watch little things like that.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating to watch it.
Badgers are furry creatures. 85% of women badgers think bad grooming is a major turn-off. 80% of women badgers think men should trim below the belt. 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Get on there, manscaped.com. Check out their great range of male grooming accessories. Hygiene, appearance, attractiveness, confidence. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code BADGER. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Together, we save balls. You're never going to get too far away from your dad, are you? I mean, we talked. I've actually written a book about fathers and sons in cricket. It was before you actually started playing cricket, so I'd never actually wanted to interview you at the time because you weren't on my radar. But I spoke to a lot of people around the world about who had had grandfathers, fathers, sons that played cricket, and the pressures of expectation, the fact that you've got that name, and people are going to be looking at you maybe a little bit more closely than some of the other people in your peer group. But also the fact that it gives you more opportunity as well, because you are born into a cricket family, so you're probably immersed in the game from a very early age. There are strengths and weaknesses of being the son of somebody that's been very famous. I mean, just for listeners and watchers, just to explain that, if people don't know, your father is Moeen Khan, played a lot of test matches for Pakistan, was captain of Pakistan. So that's a big name to follow in the footsteps of, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a big name, especially I think he's one of the legends of the Pakistani cricket team, right? He won the World Cup. So I think that's the biggest achievement for anyone, to win the Cricket World Cup.
They're always going to be special in Pakistan cricket, that team, until another Pakistan team takes their place.
Like, whenever I talk to him, he's always like that, "We won the 1992 World Cup. What have you done in your life?" I've just started my career right now. So, but yeah, it's nice talking to him because, you know, I get to learn a lot from him, especially about life and cricket, because he had made so many comebacks for the Pakistani cricket team. So he tells me about it every day. And he just tells me one thing, that it's all about the hard work. And I even know that I'm his son, and I can't remove that tag from my name, right? And it will always be with me. And I'm quite proud of it that, like, I'm the son of a legendary cricketer, right? But especially in Pakistan, like, most of the people, they think that he has some sources in the team, and he got in the team because of his dad and because of his sources. But it's not like that. It's Pakistan cricket team. It's an international cricket team. There are certain requirements, certain performances, right? That's why you're in the team, right? But I'm working hard, trying to work more hard now to maintain my place in the team, because you know, it's easy to play international cricket, but if you want to stay there, so you have to work like every single day. You have to work really, really hard to be there and to perform.
A lot of the sons that I spoke to said exactly what you just said, that you get a lot of comments. You're only here because of your dad, effectively.
Yeah, exactly.
And they all said you have to work a little bit harder to kind of get rid of that, you know, and prove yourself.
Yeah, it's all about proving yourself every day, because... You know, I just said I can't remove the tag, that name. But only thing that I can do is to perform. And just perform, that's all. That's all I can do.
The other thing I mentioned at the start was the fact that a lot of the sons said they had a head start, because when they were growing up, when they were 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever age they were, there were bats lying around, there were pads lying around, there were balls lying around.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you basically got a bit of a... Yeah, there's that thing, isn't there, about 10,000 hours. You're supposed to train for 10,000 hours to be world class at something. You had a head start there because you've probably been playing cricket from an infant.
Yeah, like I was 12 when I started it professionally. I used to go for like cricket trials. I used to go for the under 16 trials, the under 19 trials. So like I've played my cricket through steps, under 16, under 19. So most of the people in Pakistan, they only think that I came through the PSL. But it's not like that. Like I've played at the junior level, but they don't know about it. I don't know. They don't do their homework right. So, but yeah, I've played the junior level in Pakistan. And I even got selected for the Pakistan under 19 back in 2016. But on the last day, I got overage. So couldn't get the flight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played at the junior level. So most of the people doesn't know about it, right?
Your uncle played for Pakistan as well, didn't he? Is it Nadeem, your uncle? So you come very much from a cricket family, don't you? You almost never escaped from cricket.
Yeah, I can't. You know, whenever I go at family gatherings, family dinners, so whenever I'm sitting, there's my dad on my right side and my uncle on the left side. So we're always talking about cricket, like what's happening, what's going on. Because my dad is really into cricket because he's running a sports academy now. So we have like around 600 kids that come there to train. So he's very into cricket. And now my uncle, he's the director of the high performance. You know, it's quite good. It's a very healthy conversation. I get to learn a lot from them. And like, especially they're my inspirations. And they worked so hard to be here now. So I think it's always nice to have a nice chat with them.
Do you help out with the kids at all? Do you ever get involved with the coaching?
I don't think so. I need a coach for myself right now.
you came across to England, didn't you? You made your international debut in England. Was it last summer?
Yeah.
In the T20s towards the end of that little tour there. How did you find England? Did you enjoy that little trip?
Yeah, it was amazing, especially because there were spectators allowed in the ground, right? So I think it was full. We were at, what do you call it? Is it Headingley, right?
Headingley, just down the road from where I'm sitting now.
Yeah, dude, it was amazing. The crowd over there, they were like, oh, ho, ho. So it was fun. But when I was going inside, like I could feel that pressure that international cricket is something. Like you're playing at the highest level. So it was fun. It was a great experience, but never got enough chances. But I just have to prove myself again and get back into the team and perform for Pakistan.
Having had a taste of it, obviously being in that squad and playing a few games, it might not have gone the way you wanted it to go, but has that made you even hungrier to get there again?
Yeah, definitely. Why not? Because it's like you have represented at the highest level, but you haven't proved yet. So it's all about proving yourself every day, proving at the domestic level first. Then if you get called up for the Pakistani national team, then going there and play with the legends, right? And prove your worth to the world that who you are.
That game you mentioned at Headingley, was that the one that Liam Livingstone got 100 in and hit the ball over the stump?
Yeah, that was in Leeds when he hit it over the roof to Harris Row. I was standing at square leg and I was like, ooh, that's a huge hit.
I've seen a lot of cricket at that ground and I've never seen anybody hit it that far. I've seen people hit the top of the roof, but it actually cleared the hole.
It was the biggest six I've ever seen in my life, like in a live game. But the very next ball, I got him run out, okay? So.
Well, you spoil our fun, basically, didn't you? Because I was enjoying watching Liam Livingstone back that day. That was a huge hit.
He was amazing in that series.
You are listening to the Cricket Badger Podcast.
Been reading up about you before having this chat today, and one of the common things that comes up about you is your weight, and you I think you've lost a lot of weight, I think, and you've got yourself fitter.
Yeah, but does
that hurt you when people mock you for that?
I think it does sometimes, but now I'm like that, just let it be. Like whoever wants to talk, they can talk behind my back, and I'm good. I'm just gonna work on myself. You know, it's a slow process. Like it can't be a miracle, right? That it can happen like this. So I'm working on it. And so PCB has given me a trainer to train with him, right? So I'll be there in the first class even training with him. Yeah, it's sad that people judge you on your body, which is, I think it's not acceptable for me. But like, it gives me the motivation to be better every day, right? So working on it and just trying to prove my worth, that's all.
And watching you playing as well, I mean, seeing you running across the ground and stuff, it's not like you're not fit. You're a fit lad.
Yeah, I've been telling people that I can run fast, but it's about the daily routine, how better you can get every day, right? If you're doing one round in a day, the other day you could do like 1.5, then the other day you can do 2. So it's about you know, increasing your pace every day and doing more and more every day. So that's going to make you a top-class player one day.
That's what they've always said. Whenever I hear anybody talking about people that were genuinely great in games, whether it's football, cricket, whatever.
Exactly.
The ones that have made it are the ones that behind the scenes do go the extra mile and stay half an hour longer and do all the hard work.
Exactly. Yeah, so, exactly. It's all about the extra mile.
The World Cup obviously starting today, the qualification stuff starting today. You were initially named in the Pakistan squad and then displaced by Sarfraz Ahmed. Was that a bit of a killer blow for you? Were you really, really looking forward to playing?
I think it was. It was quite sad for me, but life goes on. I think it's not the last World Cup now, so the hunger is still there, and I'm quite looking forward for the next World Cup. So I have to work enough hard to maintain my place in the team. So. But it's all about looking yourself in the mirror, who you really are, what are you doing. It's all about judging yourself first. So that's what I do. So, but it was quite painful to not get into the final 15 of the World Cup squad, even though I was before. But it happened at the last moment. That was quite heartbreaking.
I was going to say, because you get named in that initial squad and you'll have had the excitement of that. And then somebody takes that away.
I left my CPL and came back from the Caribbean for the New Zealand series, which never happened. But it was quite a blow for me, happening it on the last day before traveling. It was a huge blow.
Sarfraz, he's a good player, but I guess they've gone for experience there, haven't they?
Yeah, he has a lot of experience, and I'm quite happy about him because you know he's been putting in the extra yard every day. Like he's. Like my big brother, I've always respected him like that, and we play for the same team. Even when I've had good partnerships in T20 cricket, I think most of them are with Sarfraz Ahmed, and we had like two partnerships which were like over 100, one in the PSL and one in the national T20. So it's quite nice to bat with him, and especially he's a big motivator. Very calm, very good person outside the field. Not in the field. In the field is quite harsh.
Yeah. Who's been the biggest influence on your young career so far? I mean, we've obviously mentioned your dad, but who else apart from him?
I think the biggest influence, my mom has been a very big influence in my life because she has motivated me a lot to do better in my life. And, you know, my mom and dad, they never stopped me from doing anything, right? They were like, if you want to play cricket, you should play cricket, but be the best out of it. Don't be like, I just want to play for fun. No, it's not fun. If you want to make your life out of it, then put in the extra yard.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I mean, as I mentioned in the book, I spoke to a lot of people, and they all said, the dads said about their sons, I didn't want to get too involved. I wanted to step back and let them find their own way. But I'd always be there to encourage them if that's what they wanted to do. And if it wasn't going to be cricket, if it was going to be something else, the advice would be whatever you just said, put your heart and soul into whatever you choose to do.
Exactly. Because, you know, when I went to the school, right, so my principal was like, either you play cricket or you study. I was like, thank you for giving me an option so I can choose between both. So I had a chat with my dad. I was like, I want to play cricket. I don't want to study anymore. So he was like, okay, if you want to play cricket, then play with your heart. Mm-hmm. Like, don't play it for fun. So you're going to ruin your life. But I think that was the best advice from my dad. So it's working now, and I'm at a good place now.
I'd imagine, as I say, you're a lot higher standard than I ever was. But when you're putting in the work and you're getting the performances and you're scoring runs, and that's when the fun comes, isn't it?
Exactly. That's the point. When you're in form, I think you're the best out of everyone. And I always believe that whenever I go inside the ground, right, to bat, even or to field, to keep the wickets. So I always believe that I'm the best. That's when you start performing, right? If you believe that you're the best, you can take the team out of the situation where the team is stuck. That tells you that how mentally tough you are. So whenever I go in, I just believe that I'm the best, and it works for me.
High expectations isn't a bad thing, is it? It's not a bad thing at all. What's been the best moment? If you could, you've only 23, so you've got many moments ahead of you, but what's your best moment so far in your career?
I think the best moment was that I remember when there were like two or three moments, but the best out of it was when I was receiving my T20 cap from Sarfraz Ahmed, because we were having a chat before the game that Sarfraz, I want my cap from you, I want my T20 debut cap from you. But he was like, no, I'm not going to give it to you. There are many senior players. I was like, bro, you are my captain. I've played under you, and I want my T20 cap from you. I won't take it from anyone else. So I asked Barbara Azam that I want my T20 cap from Sarfraz Bhai. So he was like, it's completely fine. You can get it from him. But I think that was the best moment up till now. I was quite emotional after getting it. Truly missing my dad, that he must be really proud of me now that I've represented Pakistan. But it's not all about representing. It's all about just being there, play for it.
What did Sarfraz say to you? Did he do a little speech when he handed it across?
Yeah, he was like that you're starting a new career now to playing for Pakistan, and I wish you the best, and you play for Pakistan for a longer time.
Was there a poster boy on the wall of your bedroom when you were younger? Was there a hero in either Pakistan or world cricket?
I never had pictures in my room, but I have a whole basement in my house. So my dad has all the World Cup pictures over there, like the 92 World Cup, 99 World Cup. So that gave me a lot of inspiration to prove myself every day and just be out there and play for Pakistan. So it's still there, and I always go there because I have my whole music set up in the basement, right? So I go there and watch the pictures every day. So it's fun.
I mentioned on WhatsApp that I was going to get you to play the guitar on this chat. Are you going to play me a song?
I can, but I don't know any English songs.
That doesn't matter. Go play a Pakistan song. It's fine.
I can't sing. Literally, I'm too bad at it.
Give us a little bit of burst on the guitar to see, because somebody's told me you're very, very good at it.
I can play the guitar for you.
Go for it.
I get it? It's here.
Yeah. Go for it.
My name is Jacob, and I sent the Badger a message, and now I'm on the podcast with this jingle. If you would like to get in touch with the Cricket Badger podcast, then tweet @cricket_badger.
Here it is.
What song are you going to play me?
I won't sing though, but I can play the chords for you.
what's the music?
Have you heard Get Lucky by Daft Punk?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I nearly burst into song then, but that would have been even worse than you trying to do it. So best we don't sing. But that I'll tell you what, you can play, can't you? You can play. How long have you been doing?
Yeah, I play the rhythm. I can't play the solos, but I'm quite good at rhythm. So, yeah.
How long have you been playing the guitar for?
It's been a year now.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you do then, Azam, to kind of away from cricket? I mean, obviously the guitar is one thing. We've established that now. But what else do you like doing?
I love to go for hiking and fishing. Like fishing, if somebody called me any day, any time that we're going for fishing, I'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
It teaches you patience.
I was going to say, I've never done fishing because it seems to me that you sat there watching water go by. But have you got any pictures of you holding your arms out with a massive fish in between?
I have some. I'll send it to you. So recently I went for a fishing trip with my friend. So we caught around 150 kgs of fish. Yeah, there were quite a lot.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Did you do that in the Caribbean at all? Were you not allowed to do that with the bubble?
We weren't allowed to go outright because of the bubble and the COVID situation. We were in the hotel, but there was a nice beach. Yeah. I wish I could go out there for fishing, but they didn't let us out.
Oh, then maybe next time. Next time you're out there, you can do that.
Because definitely, yeah.
It's quite famous, I think, for taking fishing trips out there. I'm going to put you in charge of world cricket for the day. You're going to be in charge of the ICC or whatever else is. What would you do first? What's your first job there? Is there a rule you'd change? Is there anything you'd make different with the game?
I think the rule I would change, I don't know.
Quite happy with how things are,
I think, yeah.
I would imagine I know a lot of Pakistani fans are a little bit angry with England at the moment because they didn't come over for that trip. Is that something because I agree with them. I think England should have come to Pakistan. I don't see a reason why they didn't. It's only 4 days, for goodness sake. It's not exactly a long time. Were you disappointed that series didn't go ahead?
I think I was a bit disappointed. James Cleary, yeah, we were quite you know, sad about it that even New Zealand, they called off the tour on the last day. So we were quite sad about it. Like, I was literally leaving for the airport to join the Biosecure bubble in Lahore. But got to know that they aren't playing anymore. So we stayed back home. We called our, you know, the provincial coaches, that the state coaches that show we joined the team. So they're like, yeah, you should join the team in like 2 days so you can play the National T20 Cup. So then we joined our the provincial teams. So it was fun because the domestic cricket in Pakistan, I think it's getting better now, better paid now. So, you know, it gives you the motivation to do better every day. So I think it was good. And but we were quite sad about the tour being called off of England and New Zealand. But let's see what happens in the future.
Obviously, you can't change anything now. But again, you know, if those things, if that New Zealand and England, those matches had been played and you'd scored a load of runs, you'd be at the World Cup now, wouldn't you? That it was a, it was,
yeah,
an opportunity
definitely.
To...
Why not? Why not? Because playing at your home, knowing all the conditions, right? So it would have been a very good series for some of the players if they perform over there. So they could go to the World Cup. Because my form wasn't that great in the National T20 Cup. So I was quite heartbroken when I got to know that I'm not selected for the team, right? So, but, you know, life goes on. There's a better tomorrow. If something happens with you, I think it's for your own betterment, or maybe something bigger is written in the future, right? So that's what I believe in.
Obviously disappointed you're not going to be there, but how do you rate Pakistan's chances over the next few weeks?
I think we can qualify for at least for the semifinals because we know the conditions in the UAE, right? Because we've been playing the home series for the past 10 years in the UAE. So I think the players, I'm sure they have a lot of experience in the UAE too. Because even if you see the recent cricket in the UAE, 140, 150 is like defendable. Mm. It's not you have to score big runs in UAE.
Yeah.
Even in the PSL, if you see the PSL, like 150 was the par score and you can defend it. But I think it was the final where they scored the most runs of the tournament, Multan, and they won the final, right? But I think UAE, it's quite tough for the batsmen because it turns, it swings at night. So let's see. But I think Pakistan has a big chance to qualify for the semifinals, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I like a lot of the Pakistan players at the moment. And you probably make a case for about six of the teams at that T20 World Cup for, you know, a chance of winning the thing. And Pakistan is certainly one of those teams,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, so, definitely. But let's see what happens.
I'm going to ask you a strange question now, but I'm going to basically give you the opportunity to jump inside another cricketer's body. You can be them for the day. You can have their skills for the day. You can enjoy them as them for 24 hours. Who would you pick? Who is somebody around the world at the moment that you'd like to actually experience what it's like to be them for 24 hours?
I think it'll be Andre Russell.
Okay, good choice.
He's muscular. He's like... The way he hits the ball, I think he's the most powerful striker in the world right now. Like, literally. Like, when I compare the sixes between Chris Gayle and Andre Russell, I think, like, Chris Gayle times the ball and Andre Russell, he hits it with power. Like, pure power. I think he's one of the nicest guys. I've met him a couple of times. He was with the Quetta. He was here for a short stint with the Quetta team. If I want to be a cricketer for one day, like any other cricketer, so I'd be Andre Russell.
You'd just have to choose a day with Dre Russ where his knees were actually fit, wouldn't you? Because, unfortunately for him, he's been a bit on and off the field, hasn't he, over the last few years. But he's an amazing player. Amazing player.
Yeah, he is one of the best players in T20 cricket. Best all-rounder.
Absolutely. When he gets going, there is no bowling for somebody like him.
You can't stop him. Even if you bowl him outside off on a Yorker line, he will hit it for six.
He'll hit it for six over point.
Yeah, pure barber. Yeah, he can easily hit you for a six over point. He has so much power, he can.
Yeah, big bat, big muscles. Yeah, very. I wonder what it's like to be a bowler when he's in full flow and you're running into bowl at him. There's no escape, is there?
Yeah, if he's quick, then there's no escape. Even if he hits you on the body, you have to take it, right? you can't run away.
You said at the start, earlier on, that you kind of gave up the academic world for cricket. You concentrated on cricket and you were going to make it good. Your dad's been spurring you on to do that. If you could have been famous or successful in any other walk of life and not cricket, what would you have chosen?
I would have been, an army guy or a pilot because I'm very into airplanes.
Okay.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I used to ask my mom to get me an airplane every day. The remote control one where you can fly it, right? So it was fun.
I thought after the guitar stuff that you were going to say you wanted to be a rock star. That's not that you'd be an
No way. I can't be a rock star. I don't have a good voice.
Well, you could be the lead guitarist. You don't have to necessarily sing.
I wish I could do the lead guitar, but I'm really into rhythm.
If you could meet anybody, living or dead, and you could just have an hour with them to have a chat and see what it's, see what they're about, who would you pick?
I think that's a nice question, but I'll say David Beckham.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, I think, one of the biggest celebrities in the world, right?
I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary where he went into the rainforests in South America on motorbikes, I think, going around the rainforests. And he went into this really, really remote little village. Nobody was there. They sat down for a coffee and everybody came out and everybody knew who he was because he's famous everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he's famous. Plus, he's good looking. He's a model material. So, yeah, everyone loves him.
I can't imagine what it's like to be like that. There's going to be a movie about your life, Azam the movie. This is maybe going to be in 10 years' time when you've really scored loads of international runs. But who's going to play you in that movie?
I think, I don't know. Let's see. Even if it was like after 20 years, maybe my son could do it if he wants to be an actor.
That gets him his first movie role. That's not a bad shout. What's the last time you can remember feeling really nervous? Are you a nervous kind of individual? Do you let things get to you, or do you just take things in your stride?
I think the most nervous I was when I was playing against England in the first T20. So I was sitting in the bench and I was like, shit, oh my God, I have to go inside. There are like 50,000 people watching me. So I was quite nervous. I never played like in such a huge crowd before. I played in Karachi, but you know, it's a different feeling because I've already played here at the National Stadium, plus the crowd. But I think at Headingley, there were more people over there. Because it was full, it was packed. So I was quite nervous over there.
And it feels quite tight. I know that ground. It feels quite tight, doesn't it?
It does.
It's a good ground, that. It's a good ground.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to give you a time machine, Azam. There's a time machine. I've just delivered it outside. You can take it anywhere you want to go. You can go backwards in time to experience something in history, or you could go forwards in time to see what the future holds. Where are you going to take it?
I think I'm going to go 5 years back in time. But I should have the same brain right now that I'm having it. So I can work even hard and be more fit to play cricket.
I'll tell you what, you're 23. I'm a lot older than that. You will have that thought, I imagine, many times in your life. Because I'll tell you what, if I could go back and talk to me when I'm 21, I would do so many different things.
Yeah, I know. But the only thing I love is cricket right now. So I think I will be the best version, right?
Yeah, that's a good aim. If you could live anywhere in the world, obviously you're in Karachi at the moment, aren't you? If you could live anywhere else, I mean, I'm going to let you keep your house where you are, but you can have a second house somewhere else. Where are you going to put it?
LA, Los Angeles, California.
Driving around with the roof down?
Yeah, driving around with a convertible and just roaming around. That's all.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would you change?
I might be a lefty.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, because they look so elegant when they play, right?
I know, it's not fair, is it? I mean, they do look different, don't they? For some reason, they look different.
They look quite different because they look more elegant. Even when I see tennis, squash, badminton, they look more elegant. I don't know why.
Have you seen this? There was somebody on Twitter that was putting out some reverse images of right-handers and left-handers.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And they look different, didn't they? They look different straight away.
I saw Chris Gayle batting righty.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked really bad.
Have you tried to turn yourself around to see what you look like left-handed?
Never done it. But I'm going to try, I guess. I have some features in the phone so I can do it, right?
That's your homework for the rest of the day. What will you be doing in 10 years' time? Let's put the clock forward for 10 years. What would you have hoped to? Where would you hope to be by then?
I think I'll be playing for Pakistan. I'll be 33.
You'll be one of the experienced guys.
Yeah, I'll be like one of the most experienced guys in the team then.
Does that include Test cricket, ODIs, T20 international?
Yeah, every format.
Well, I wish you every success with that. I hope all your dreams come true, Azam.
Thank you.
If you'd been interviewing yourself today, what would you have asked yourself? If you'd been me talking to you, is there anything that I've not asked that you'd have asked yourself?
I think there are a lot of questions. What if I was interviewing myself, then I could have asked some private questions to myself, right?
And nobody would ever hear the answers.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I would ask that what's your daily routine? What do you do in the whole day? What's your routine like? How many hours do you train? That's how it is.
Answer it then. What is your daily routine, Azam? And is it the same every day?
It's quite simple. I go to the gym when I wake up. Then I go for my cricket practice. I train over there. I run some rounds. And then I go back to the gym again for my second session. So it's like 6 hours of training without break. That's how it is.
And do you do that 7 days a week? Or is that, do you give yourself a day off?
5 days a week.
So which days do you have off in the week?
Only 2 days off, Saturday and Sunday. That's all. Okay. But now I'm going to have 1 day off every week. So I think 6 days are more than enough for training. And you can have 1 day off.
And on your day off, is that the fishing? Is that the guitar playing? Is that when that
all happens? Yeah, exactly. All the unproductive things that I do are on Sunday, just like music and fishing.
I'm going to ask you one question from my side of things now, because I mean I am a cricket badger. I'm obsessed with the game. I love watching Babar Azam bat.
Yeah.
I think he's glorious to watch. I think he's got so much time. He's absolutely magnificent to watch. What's he like as a guy?
I think he's a very determined guy, determined with himself. He wants to be the best in the world, especially in all of the formats, right? So I think he can be one of the biggest legends of Pakistan cricket. That's what I believe. And he's a wonderful guy, wonderful captain. I've learned quite a lot from him, especially whenever he comes to bat, right? The way he plays, I think it's pure class, because the number I bat at, I go in, is number 5 or number 6, right?
Yeah.
Babar Azam teaches you that you can score runs by playing ground shots. You can play a cover drive. You can play an on drive. You can play a flick, score runs, right? Even if you see his, like the bigger innings, right, when he scores 70s, 80s, he doesn't hit too many sixes. He hits like 1 or 2 sixes, right? And he scores all of his runs from the ground shots. So I think there's a lot of practice behind him. I think he's the best right now.
What you just said there is quite interesting, because I think a lot of people just see T20 as hitting sixes.
Yeah.
But you score runs wherever the fielders are not, don't you?
Exactly.
You can hit hit it in the gaps, you score runs.
Exactly. That's the point, yeah. Because but playing in that gap takes a lot of practice, right? To be perfect, to play in that gap.
Yeah.
So I think he has worked enough hard to be there, right? And playing at the world stage and representing Pakistan at the top. And I think he's the best version of himself right now.
No, I think that there's a few standout batsmen. Obviously, I'm biased. Joe Root, I think, is exceptional in Test cricket at the moment. You've got Virat Kohli. You've got a few others. But I think Babar Azam, I really enjoy watching Babar Azam bat, and looking forward to watching him over the next few weeks in the T20 World Cup as well.
Yeah.
One final question, Azam, before I let you go, to enjoy the rest of your day off, one of your days off. When you go into the Pakistan setup at the moment, it's got the greats of recent past as coaches. You've got Wacker Yunus has been there. In there, you've got Yunus Khan in there.
Yeah.
You've plenty of former players who I would imagine have been your heroes in recent times.
I think my hero was Yunus Khan, because the way he used to bat, he was so mentally tough. I think, we were playing the 2018 season with the Duke ball in Pakistan, and it was moving around. I remember when he was playing in 2016 when he scored a double 100. I think it was at Edgbaston.
You're probably right.
He scored a double 100. And playing with the Duke's ball, swinging around, scoring a double 100, it tells you that the hard work behind all those runs, right? So I think he was one of the biggest inspirations in my life. Like the best Test cricketer of Pakistan, scoring 10,000 runs is a big deal.
I was working at Yorkshire. He came across to play for Yorkshire for a season
or two.
And he scored a beautiful double century, I think, at Scarborough. But my main memory from him was that he's just a lovely fella. Really big smile, really friendly.
Yeah, he's always smiling, like such a positive guy. Always smiling, even in the domestic structure. I've seen him bat, scoring double hundreds. He never used to get tired from his batting. Like, he was like that. If I've scored 100, how am I going to convert it into a 150 or a 200?
Yeah. Hungry for the big score.
Hungry for the big score, right? Hungry for the records.
Azam, it has been, honestly, a joy to meet you today. It's the first time we've chatted, and I've really enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you for your time on your day off, and thank you for your time on the Cricket Badger podcast. Good to speak to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Podcast Network.